I'm younger than I thought. I did not know that second song. There. So should I tell a little story on Josh then about changing the words of a song? So he was with his grandparents and he's with his grandparents and I don't know, he was there for over a Sunday, so he came back home and he said, "Mom, Dad, can we sing the Sucker Face song?" So Debbie calls her parents and said, "What are you teaching our child? What kind of song is that?" "Sucker Face song. We I don't know what you're talking about." "Oh, we bring sacrifice of praise." I want to bring a short word to you today. We want to honor the graduates that are here. Also, we have four people getting baptized. And so what an exciting day that we have. But I just wanted to share some thoughts about three great events. There are three great events that await you in your life. And so that's what I want to talk about this morning. Children's Church can be dismissed. You can go with Anna. If you want to come back, bring them back for the baptisms. That's fine, too. We'll give you a heads up there. So it'll be a little while before we get to that. And if you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. And would you stand, please? We'll give reverence to God's word. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. Just a short little verse here. Short phrase, one sentence. By one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body. By one Spirit, all of us baptized into one body. That, of course, is the body of Christ. Father, we thank you for the great privilege of being a Christian. Thank you for the great privilege of being carriers of your Holy Spirit, baptized together as members of the body of Christ. Well, Lord, we know that's just the beginning. You have so much more for us in the Christian life, and we ask that you would speak to our hearts through this message today. Lord, and if there's any that have not followed you in an act of obedience or come to a place in their life where they've surrendered to you, that they would do that today. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. So this is also Pentecost Sunday, so we're cramming a lot of things in here today. I'll probably preach on Pentecost and give it its due later on. But there's three great events that Christians or people should experience as far as the Christian life goes. The first one is the baptism into one body. In other words, that's salvation or regeneration, being born again, being born anew. And the gospel is clear. Jesus said in John chapter 3, you must be born again. You must be born again of the Spirit of God. And then as we read 1 Corinthians 12, 13, by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. That's how we are born again, when we become new creations in Christ. Old things are passed away, behold, all things become new. In John chapter 20, after the resurrection, Jesus appeared to his disciples and he breathed on them. And he said, "Receive the Spirit." Receive the Spirit. That is regeneration. That is new life that was breathed into them. They became new creations. So that's the first great event that needs to take place in your life. You need to be baptized into the body of Christ. You need to have salvation. You need to be born again. You need to be regenerated. And if you haven't done that, that's where you need to begin. That's where the Christian life starts. That's where it all begins. And then there's also another great event that takes place in the life of the believer, and that is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is a work that is separate and distinct from the regenerating work. To be regenerated by the Holy Spirit is one thing. To be baptized with the Holy Spirit is something different. It is something further. It is evident when Jesus said, "You shall be baptized in the Holy Spirit," not many days from now in Acts chapter 1 and verse 5. So they were not yet baptized in the Holy Spirit, but they had already been regenerated. They had already been born again. The Spirit had breathed on them. Now I would submit to you the fact that so 7 weeks earlier, they had received the Holy Spirit as a subsequent or a different experience than the subsequent act in Acts chapter 2 and verse 4, where they were filled with the Spirit or where they were baptized in the Spirit. Two distinct events. It would be foolish to say that the same people who received the Spirit 7 weeks earlier were just repeating that conversion experience in Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. No, it was a separate, entirely different, new experience for them. So the conclusion is that when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, yes, he does indwell in us. John chapter 20, verse 22, Jesus said to them, as he breathed upon them, receive the Holy Spirit. So that's the initial experience that they had, but these same people are filled with the Spirit in Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. So what Jesus was doing in John chapter 20, he's really reenacting creation. When God bent over the lifeless Adam, and he breathed into him the breath of life. Now Christ, the second Adam, is taking his immortal life and he's given to his disciples his life, breathing spirit. It is for their benefit of their resurrected body. And breathing symbolically into his disciples, they had Adam's nature, but now they are become partakers of God's nature. And Jesus is saying to them, now because you have faith, because you believe in me, I now breathe into you eternal life. And any person who confesses that Jesus Christ is their Savior, in that act of confession, a conversion takes place, and they receive the Spirit at that time. But in the being filled with the Spirit or being baptized into the Spirit, synonymous terms, there's an element of being placed in the life of the Holy Spirit. So when you are saved, you are placed in the body of Christ. When you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you are placed in the Holy Spirit, the element of the Holy Spirit. And something miraculous takes place. There's a new dimension of the Spirit's work in you that takes place upon this earth. So these three great events. The first event is baptism into the body of Christ. That's salvation, that's regeneration, born again, whatever you want to call it. The second work is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or the filling of the Holy Spirit, where now the Spirit flows out of you in dynamic ways. It's salvation, he comes in. At the baptism, you are so full that he comes out. He spills out into the world around you. But then the third great event is water baptism. And why Jesus was baptized has a lot to do with why you should be baptized. Because baptism means identification. When Jesus was baptized, he was identifying with us. When we are baptized, we are identifying with him. We identify ourselves with him. And there's this very real sense that we meet Jesus in the waters of baptism. When we baptize people today, it is not some tradition that we're doing. It's not something that we just go through the motions with. There has a deep meaning. Jesus identified with us. You see, Jesus came to do what we couldn't do. Jesus came as our substitute. He came to take our place. And you see, we all had a debt on us. We had a debt of sin that we could not pay. And when Jesus was baptized, Jesus was signing his name to our debt. And he was saying, I will pay this debt in full. I am identifying myself with these people that I have come to save. I'm not a sinner, but I'm identifying myself with these people. And so he shows us a picture in his baptism of how he is going to save us. It was a picture of the coming death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, why are we baptized? Well, Jesus identified himself with us by baptism, and we identify ourselves with the Lord Jesus through baptism as well. Let me show you why. Let me show you why we believe and we teach in this church that baptism is by immersion. It is all because of what baptism pictures. Romans chapter 6 and verse 1 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And then he says, know you not. Please pay attention here. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness, the picture of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. So here it is. What does baptism picture? When you understand what baptism pictures, you will understand why it needs to be by immersion. The first thing that baptism pictures is Christ's sacrifice. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 37, they said to Jesus, a couple of his disciples, grant us to sit one at your right hand and the other at your left in your glory. Here's Jesus' answer to them. Jesus said to them, you don't know what you're asking. Can you drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism which I am baptized? See, the real baptism of Jesus is a baptism about his death. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 50, he's talking about the cross. And he said, but I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how pressed I am until it is accomplished. Immersed in judgment, Jesus' baptism was a pre-enactment of what he did on the cross. So it pictures his sacrifice. In verse 12, verse 5 of Romans chapter 6, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. So Paul says very, very plainly there, baptism is the likeness of his death, and number two, it is the likeness of his resurrection. The likeness of his death and the likeness of his resurrection. So that baptistry, or any place where a person goes under the water, pictures a death and a burial. When a person goes under the water, that pictures the death. When the person comes up out of the water, it pictures the resurrection. It's the likeness of his death. It is the likeness of his resurrection. It's a picture of that. Now, pictures are important, right? I like to give this one. Suppose you've never seen a picture of my wife. My wife, Debbie, and you say to me, Pastor, do you have a picture of your wife? I say, I sure do. And I preach in my wallet, and I pull out this beautiful picture of a waterfall. You say, wow, you have a strange wife. You married a waterfall. That's not so far out today, folks. I mean, in Europe, there was a person who married a bridge. So, I mean, but if I have a picture of something, don't you think that picture should at least resemble what I am talking about? If I have a picture of my wife, I should have a picture that at least resembles her. So 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, was buried, and rose again on the third day, according to the Scriptures." That is the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he died, he was buried, he rose again. Now, if there is any picture that God wants to keep out of the church, what do you think it would be? I think it would be a picture of the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is why every time somebody gets saved and they get baptized, they show us over and over again what the gospel is and what Jesus did for them. They are showing through the picture of baptism the likeness of his death and the likeness of his resurrection. Baptism also pictures my salvation. You think about this, both baptism and salvation is done by somebody else. We can't justify or baptize ourselves. But you see, when Jesus died, his death had my name on it. When he died for me. He died for you. But when he rose, I rose with him. And so did you if you were a believer. So that's what baptism means. It pictures his sacrifice, and then it pictures my salvation because I am saved through his sacrifice. Because I have identified with him and his work on the cross. And what Jesus was saying when he got baptized was, I'm going to show you through baptism what I am eventually going to do to take away your sins. How I will become your sacrifice. And then verse 4 there in Romans chapter 6, "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in newness of life." There's something powerful about baptism. We become new creations when we are born again. But there is something about baptism that as we come out of the water, that we are to walk in newness of life. We are to walk now as a new creation. I believe there is a power in baptism that as we are buried in the waters of baptism, we can say our sin was buried there. And I've raised now to walk in newness of life. And there are times in my life when I'm tempted, and you know what I do? I look back to my baptism when I was 12 years old. And I think, you know what? I don't need to sin. I was buried. I died to myself in the waters of baptism. And I came out of the water to walk in newness of life. I'm a new creation. I have a new ability to overcome sin in my life. And I can identify with what Jesus did for me. When he was buried, I was buried. When he arose, I arose. I'm buried with Christ. I'm risen with Christ. Now it also says I'm going to rise at the resurrection when the body and the soul are reunited. So when I look at the baptismal tank, it also gives me faith in a future resurrection. Because Jesus rose from the dead and conquered death in the grave. And he rose again. And he has just become the first fruits of all those who believe in him, that they will have their own resurrection. So someday you are going to hear that I died. Don't you believe it. This body might die, but I'm not going to die. The real me will live because my faith and my trust is in Jesus Christ, who is the resurrection and the life. Amen. Now someday, yes, that body will rise to meet my spirit, which is eternal. When you trusted Christ as your Savior, you got eternal life, right? The wages of sin of death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You have eternal life right now Your spirit is eternal. The soul that God gave you is eternal. These bodies are not. They're going to wear out. If you haven't noticed, it probably is already. But someday when that body goes into the ground, that really is not the end either, because the body and soul will be reunited, and someday we'll have these glorified bodies with no pain, no suffering, but we'll be in the presence of Christ. So, you know, people say, talk about a profession of faith. I think the greatest way to profess your faith is through baptism. Yeah, you can come to the front, you can tell people you put your faith, your trust in Jesus, and that's great. But to me, the greatest profession of faith is baptism, because you are showing the gospel. And you are showing that you have died with Christ, but you are being raised to walk in a new way. You're being raised to walk in newness of life. Somebody said that we are to preach the gospel and use words if necessary. The greatest way to preach the gospel is through the life that we live. And every time somebody's getting baptized this morning, the gospel is being preached again. It's going to happen 4 times here today. Again, 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 and again. Every time the gospel is going to be preached. Jesus died, he was buried, he rose again. That's the gospel. I identify with him. I make this public confession that when Jesus died, I died. When he was buried, I was buried. But when he rose, I rose with him. Somebody else said, let me get this straight. Your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. Your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. Some people are going to speak loudly today through baptism. So it's a way of saying, I have decided to follow Jesus. And that's what these four have done. 3 great events in your life. Have you experienced them all? Have you experienced regeneration? Been baptized into the body of Christ? Salvation? Have you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Just like when you were saved, you were placed into Christ's body. When you are being baptized in water, you're being placed in water. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is you are being placed, you are being immersed in the Holy Spirit. 3 separate events in the life of a Christian that I hope and pray that every single one of you experiences. All right. Let me ask for the graduates. Could you guys come up here? And Pastor Josh, Brendan and Joseph are the only 2 that I know about. Do we have any others? Other than Sarah Hank, who is not able to be here today. Those are the only 3 that I know of. Don't be shy if there's somebody else. And I'm going to ask Pastor Josh to lay hands on you and pray for you. And if you guys wouldn't mind stretching your hands toward them and praying as Pastor Josh prays for them. Let's ask God to be with them and their future lives and whatever that might be.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for these 2 young men that you have raised up. And Lord, I just thank you for their commitment to you already. They're so far ahead in life already, just having a solid relationship with Jesus as their Savior. Lord, I thank you for their examples that they already leave.
Yes, Lord.
And their desire to follow you.
Grant it, Jesus.
And Lord, I just pray now as they graduate this year, as they go forward in their lives, there's going to be lots of things happening and lots of things changing. Lord, I pray very specifically that the path before them would be illuminated with your Holy Spirit in the way that they should go. Your word, Lord, says that the path shines brighter and brighter until that perfect day. And so, Lord, I pray that no matter what obstacles may come across their life, no matter what the enemy throws at them, that they will know the direction that you've called them to go. That it will be made clear that they'll see the path before them, Lord, that you have chosen, that you've laid out for them. As they choose schooling, further education, careers, marriages, families, Lord, I just pray that everything would be laid out plain before them, that you would direct their steps, and that they would continue to glorify you and honor you and exalt you in everything that they do.
Yes,
and
Lord.
That their lives would just be wonderful testimonies to the people under them, especially to the young boys that look up to these two guys.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, I just pray your blessing upon them. Bless them with your presence and your Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' precious name.
Amen. Have a gift for you guys. And then we also have a cake. So after the service is dismissed this morning, you're all invited down to the fellowship hall. Make sure you can stay with us if at all possible, and you guys get a picture of the cake before it's cut with you, and let them and their families go through line first. And I know that's going to be hard for both of your families because they like to put other people first, but you guys get to the head of the line today. So let's give them a hand of applause and honor them today. Thank you, guys. Bless you. Bless you. Good job, guys. Thanks. You can go sit down. All right, I'm going to give you some announcements. Some other people have some announcements here this morning. Again, the fellowship dinner, hope that you can stay in fellowship with us. That would be great. Wednesday evening, there's an adult Bible study only. We're studying chapter 3. We're going to study the whole chapter 3 of Daniel. It's a very familiar chapter, but if you want to just read through it, remind yourself of what's going on there, that would be great. I'm not going to read that chapter this Wednesday on the outset. We'll talk about verses as we go through it. You know the story so well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, that I think we can get to some of the application in that rather than just rehearse all that story. And then we're having a family cookout and softball game at Wilson Park on noon Saturday, January 18th. That's what we usually have a cookout for Father's Day. June. I'm trying to hurry, but thank you. So bring food to cook, dishes to pass, something in them. Make sure there's something in them. Softball gear. Come for a family fun event. All right. Wow. And then this is not in your bulletin, but Teresa Romo will be doing nature walks throughout the summer and into the fall. And she will show you what is edible and some medicinals. It's not only a fun way to learn, but it could be a blessing for the future. So you can call her to schedule your walk. She also has a country retreat home. She has cards on that, I don't know what you call those tables out there with the purple books as well. If it's something you're interested in, you can take that. She's generously offered that. And then also there are some cards out there for some tickets for the circus. Children can get in free to the circus with a ticket with the paid admission of an adult. So there are dates and times and things on those tickets. That's also on that little funky table out there if you want to help yourself to that. And then, let's see, Christine, you want to come? She's going to share her testimony before she gets into the water. And then I'm going to get changed here, and then a few baptismal candidates, you want to come and sit in the front row here at this time. And then when she's done, Cindy has an announcement for a women's event coming up at church, and then Jason has an announcement for the books, and Jen has an announcement for VBS. So let you do that. Here's a microphone right here. You'll be time when you're done to get changed.
As a young girl, I grew up in a home that was dysfunctional, scary, and abusive. I wasn't taught about Jesus or God. My mother and stepfather took us all to a church to see a movie called Left Behind. It scared me so badly, I never wanted to go back. It took years for me to want to try again. It wasn't until I became a mother that I wanted to know more. I tried a few different churches but couldn't find my home. I taught my sons to live a life of love and to do unto others as you'd have done to you. I read pamphlets about Jesus and tried to read the Bible. It wasn't very easy for me to understand. I even got friends together to study the Bible so I could understand it better. I asked God to come into my life about 20 years ago, and I had given up on finding a church the way that the world is today. Then I moved to Wilson, and I drove by this church often, and it seemed to call out to me. I decided to give it a try, and it felt like where I was meant to be. After going a few times, I decided I wanted to ask Pastor Rick if he would baptize me. So I'm very excited to take this next step in my relationship with God.
I am going to make this really quick and brief. I'm going to refer back to Mother's Day when all the women were up here. And I said to the Lord, wow, look at all the women here at Calvary. And I thought I heard him say, yes, rally them. And I just went, no, I don't want to do that. Because I've been in that baptismal 5 years ago, and when I came up out of there, part of me left was left in there, and he said, I am going to work things through you, so listen. So when I finally agreed to listen, there was a speaker he was really focusing me on. She's been out doing various speaking, and I connected with some different women to see what their thoughts were, and finally I sent her a message and said, I know that you do weekend retreats. I'm wondering if you ever do church one-day retreats. And she came back and said, Cindy, you're an answer to prayer, because I've been asking God, should I go to churches? So yes, she said, I will. So we've set a date, September 24th. So mark your calendars, ladies. Kathy Schwenke is going to come here from, we're thinking 8:30 to 4:30. And the Lord said that he will provide, because I said, so how do we cover this, Lord? And he said, I will provide. You just do what I'm directing you to do. So then I wanted to know about food, because that's a big issue after being at the retreat. And he gave me a gentleman's name, and I went and talked to that gentleman and asked him if he'd care to organize feeding women here at our church on September 24th, are you available? And he said, I'd be honored to do that, Cindy. So it was just like, okay, I guess we're doing it. So rally up, ladies. September 24th, we're going to have a day here and a fabulous speaker. We're going to have workshops. And wow, it's exciting. And it's just going to be a great time of us coming together, the women of Calvary, meeting each other, getting to know each other better, and just loving on the Lord. So I hope your summer goes well, and in September we're going to connect. So thank you.
All right, so the purple books, there's a little more explanation behind this. God and the Guys is a group of guys who are challenging each other to step up in their faith and lead their families and their communities in this church. The purple books are specifically a challenge to fathers, everyone's welcome to join, but specifically fathers to disciple their families this summer. There's 12 chapters, and there's like four or five different lessons within each chapter, so it's basically designed to go through the whole summer. What it does is it just basically directs you to fundamentals of the Christian life, and shows you how you can basically take someone who doesn't know anything about the Bible, which we have a lot of those people around us all the time now, and you can help direct them to the importance of what it means to be a Christ follower. So the intention is that all the dads would get one of these copies. I would say for kids that are, you know, 11-ish and up, they can work through it. It's meant to work on your own, and then once a week you meet as a family and go over, you know, those Bible verses from that week. So one of the things I'm really challenged with is some of you here are probably aware of the Believe movement that was kicked off to believe for a move of God in our county. I've been really challenged in my prayer life. I feel like this is the question. We pray for revival. Amen. The Lord asked me, are you ready for it? Are you ready for it? Can you find the time to disciple your family so that when the revival happens, they're prepared to disciple others? Okay, this takes time. You know, I mean, it's 20 to 30 minutes a day and an hour dedicated at least a week to do this with your family. Now think about a wave of people coming into the kingdom of God that are going to need your time. If we can't find the time to teach ourselves how to disciple our family, we pray for revival, but is it going to come? Now, I am hopeful that, you know, God always, you know, gives us the ability because he always calls us to do the impossible. So we do what we can, but I'm just really concerned that we don't have a discipleship mentality in our culture to support what God wants to do. So this is what the Purple Book is about. The church has already paid for all of these. The suggested donation is $5. But if you don't have the funds, you might have a larger family. Don't let that be a barrier to you. There's a jar out front, so just drop the money in the jar and grab one of these books. And the kickoff for it is going to be next Monday. So everybody will kind of know what, you know, if you have questions about, let's say you're into a certain chapter and you're struggling with it, maybe to answer questions with your kids that week, you could always reach out to another guy because they're going to be working through it. You know, this is a community thing, but really a challenge for fathers to step up, teach your children while you walk, while you lie down, while you eat, while you go to bed, while you rise up. This is your challenge. Thanks.
So, I today have a favor to ask. I need some help. We still need some teachers for our Bible school. And so, I still need three teachers for classes. I need two for games. I need five people to help with the backdrop. And I need about six helpers. So if you would go to the church website and fill out a form to help out with Bible school, I would appreciate it. I do have a few flyers yet on the back table. You can use that if you don't want to use the form on the church website. I was having a little trouble with the printer this morning, so I didn't get any more printed. But we also need five people to just kind of roam around and help during Bible school, just in case somebody needs help, one of the kids needs to run to the restroom, something like that. We could use some of that too. I also need a few things for donations, if you wouldn't mind. Some fun-size candy bars. Some other things like bouncy balls or Play-Doh or slime. Like, you know, the slime that gets stuck to your clothes and the kids' pillows and blankets and, ugh. They like it, though. So, light-up rings. We also need some loofah sponges, some spray paint, specifically tan, brown, or light blue, maybe even a couple white. I need some particle board, bigger pieces of particle board or scrap lumber. So if you have any laying around that you can donate to us, that would be amazing. And next Sunday, all of the volunteers need, I hope, next Sunday, because I asked about next Saturday, and Saturday was okay, but then we realized that was a problem. So next Sunday after church, I'll have pizza and drinks, and if we can have kind of a training session, and then for those that are willing to help with the backdrops, we'll need to work on that afterwards. So I think that's all I've got. Thank you.
James Stauffer and Dan Anderson, and is Matt here? Can you get by with two, or do we need three guys?
After coming here last September and finding a church that we actually feel connected to after 13 years of looking in Menominee, talking with Pastor Rick, he helped guide me through things I did while I was in the service for the country, and that you can still follow Christ and be a warrior and a sheepdog.
Man, how do you surpass that? That was awesome. I accepted Jesus as my Savior a long time ago. And like Sean, I'd have to say, finding a church that you felt like you're in a family has been years and years and years coming. finally finding this church and finding all of you has been truly a godsend. With that, I was baptized as a baby, Catholic, right? But that's not something I accepted or not something that I basically did. That was my parents. So I wanted, and finding this place needed to become baptized. So that's why I'm here. With that, Lois, Jody. Most awesome prayer. Pray over you. It's like, well, that's a no-brainer. here's where we're at.
I don't know, I haven't known Pat for a long time, last fall, and I feel very honored, Lois and I both do, feel very honored that he asked us to do this. And so this week I was asking God, what should I pray? And he showed me some things, so I want to thank God for the man that Pat is and for the heart he has for the Lord. And Pat, with this action today, God is very pleased that you are obeying his word and the prompting of his spirit to do this baptism that you are taking responsibility for. And for many people, it looks like we're just dunking ourselves, but there's a real spiritual process through this, elements of the water and the word. And you might not see a big change in how you've been leading your life or honoring God, but there's going to be a significant shift after today that he wants to move you in different ways than you're used to. He's going to fine-tune you. He's going to take areas where things have been a little hazy, but you've sort of stood there waiting for God to make things clearer. And he's just going to bring everything into focus. And so, Father, we thank you again for Pat, for his willingness to serve, for his fearlessness to go where you ask him to go, for his desire to serve you in every way with his life. And we just pray a blessing on him and his family as they go forth from this day in the newness of your word and in the newness of the Holy Spirit as you become a more integral part of their lives. We give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Did you want me to sing?
Well, I can't use the mic, so I'll keep it brief. I appreciate Pat and the testimony he's been ever since I met him. I could see the love of Jesus shining through him to everybody. He takes the position of leadership in many different areas, and I'm just thankful to God to have Pat for a friend. Bless you.
Guys aren't wrong. This is nice.
Pat, I'm so glad that you've decided to make this decision for yourself as well. Just that you personally have grown in the last few years, since I've known you anyway. So it's a great joy to be able to baptize you today. And so because of your profession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Jesus, I have decided to follow. I'm very nervous. I am here today to be baptized, and it's been a long road. I was baptized the same as a Catholic when I was a baby, and I didn't think that counted the further I got into my spiritual journey. And then when I was 14, my neighbor lady had me babysit for her and her sister's kids, and I thought, I'm going to get a lot of money because I babysat like 10 kids all day, and I got a Bible. And I wasn't very happy, but I am a reader, so I read the whole Bible, and I liked it then. And then a couple years later, she invited me to a concert, some of us might know it, Lowell Lundstrom's. And once I was there, they said, you know, come down and accept Jesus. And I thought, well, I can't do that. There's too many people. And the man said, I know there's a lot of people here, so we'll make sure you find your people when you're done. And I thought, oh, well, they don't want to wait for me. And the man down there said, if the people brought you here, they want to wait for you. And I kept making up all these excuses. And I know that that guy had like a direct thing into my mind, because every excuse I made, he had an answer for. So I went down, and that, I think I was like 16 or 17 at the time. But, you know, I wandered around and didn't really feel like I fit in anywhere. And I was looking around, and I wished I'd have followed Molly sooner, because I met her at my workplace. But she said, it's never too late, so I'm here to get baptized today. And I asked Molly to say a prayer for me.
So excited, Donna, that you're getting baptized today, and I'm so honored to be able to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I just thank you so much for Donna, Lord. She is such a shining light, Lord God. I just thank you for the love that you've given her, for people, the servant's heart, Lord God, that you've given her, Lord. I just pray that you will bless her, Lord God, today as she's getting baptized, Lord, that you would fill her with your Holy Spirit, God, that you would guide her down this path that you have in front of her, Lord God. And that you would give her peace and your grace and your Holy Spirit, Lord. And I just want to pray a portion of Ephesians 3 over you, that Christ may dwell in your heart, Donna, by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, and that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And unto him, Donna, that is able to keep you and to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think, according to the power that worketh in you. Unto him be glory. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Father, I thank you for Christine. I thank you how you have led her through the years. But I thank you that you have come and presented yourself to her, the The Lord, she has received you. She's received more than anything could ever imagine, and anybody could ever imagine. We talk about riches, but Lord, the riches that we have are nothing compared to the riches of your grace. I thank you for your grace in her life. I pray, Lord, for grace abundantly, that you would just heap up more and more grace. Lord, I thank you for her love for you and her faith this morning and that profession of that faith. And I pray, Lord, now that you would meet her here at the waters of baptism in a very special way. Lord, that there would be a new dynamic in her life, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Christine, because of your profession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, gives me great privilege to be able to baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for each one here today. And I pray a special blessing, a heartfelt blessing and safety through the week. If there be any danger, Lord, you'll go before each of us and provide safety. Pray now, Lord, you'll bless this food that we're about to take. In Jesus' name, amen.